You are listening to the Embassy Church Podcast, and here is today's message.
We're going to talk today from Ephesians 4. And we're still going to kind of stay on this place of dismantling the church, dismantling the things that we have set up in the church, and have some conversations about it. So I'm going to start in Ephesians 4, and it says in verse, I have to make my thing bigger to see, verse 11, thank God for iPads. It says, and he himself, this is Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he himself, meaning Jesus, we've talked before about the gifts of the Spirit. We did a series last year on the gifts of the Spirit. We know there's gifts that the Holy Spirit brings, there's gifts that the Father gives, and then there's the gifts of Jesus. And the gifts that Jesus give are what's listed here, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, okay? Those are the gifts that Jesus gives. So, you guys can call me a gift. Just call me your gifts. Just kidding, that's not. Don't. Okay. Well, thanks. I was waiting, but. But it says he gives gifts to the church. And this is what I want to focus on for a moment. For the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So he gives pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists for the equipping, for the building up, for the giving you what you need, getting you ready, all those things. He gives them to the church, but for the equipping, but notice this, for the work of the ministry. Who's supposed to be in the ministry? You. So he gives the, they call this the fivefold ministry gifts, okay? He gives the fivefold ministry gifts to the body to prepare them, to get them ready, to send them out for the ministry. Okay. Here's where we have gotten this backwards. Many people say, I believe I'm called to the ministry, or I'm not called to the ministry. And what they're referring to is pastors, teachers, evangelists, and prophets, and apostles. And we have switched this around to look at only those five gifts, that's the ministry. But it's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. That says that he gave them as gifts to prepare you for the work of the ministry. This is why, when this is backwards, why we have Sunday morning Christianity. Because we've looked at it backwards and said, I come to church for me and me alone. They're doing the ministry, that's their job, and I'm separate from that. Again, that's not what the Bible says. It says once you come into the kingdom of God, once you become a part of the family of God, you are enlisted into the ministry. And so we gather together. We come together, and we come together to be equipped, to get ready, to be prepared. So from Monday to Saturday, we're doing the work of the ministry. Let's look. It says, the equipping of the saints. Equipping means to prepare you and to supply you with necessary things needed for a particular task. So it's preparing you, it's supplying you. What does the Word of God say? And then it says, the edifying of the body. Edifying means to instruct and improve, especially in moral and biblical knowledge. So we're getting an understanding of what does the Bible say. There's a lot of things being said out there. Do we believe what they're saying out there? Are we following what's going on out there? Is it lining up with what the Bible says? So we're learning. And then when we learn it, then we can say, this is what the Bible says. But it's all in equipping. So when we come together, we're being equipped. Did you know that Sunday mornings, or church when we gather together, let me just say it's a Sunday morning, but did you know this really isn't for non-believers? Are they welcome? Yes, of course. But the coming together is for the equipping and the edifying of the body. And here's another where we've got it backwards is, and because we've had this thinking, is we'll invite somebody to church and hope that the pastor gets the job done. But it's your job. Oh my God. Oh, Jesus. You know, it was interesting. I wanted to get a definition of what edify meant. And so I typed in, what does edify mean? So I could give you a solid definition. And when I typed it, I mixed up two letters. I mixed the E and the D up. And so when I hit enter, I realized I wrote, what does deifying mean? And the Holy Spirit said to me, this is what's happened in the church. They've deified the gifts that Jesus gave. You know what deified means? It means to worship or treat something or someone as God. That we have put by the structure of the church, we have put pastors and evangelists and prophets, we've put them on a stool. Pedestal, thank you. It's like, that doesn't seem right, but we'll go with it. We've put them on a stool. Yeah. And we've worshiped that gift. And this is not the order of God. They are a gift to the body of Christ, for sure. That's what the Bible says. It's Jesus' gift to help prepare, get you ready, all the things. We're going to go over them in a moment. For the body of Christ. And do we honor? Absolutely. You always honor a gift. Always. Just like if... I'm trying to think of something. Brenda, she's a nurse. If I went to Brenda and I had questions about health, I would honor the gift. I would honor what she had to say. I wouldn't try to say, well, I know more than you or anything like that. I would honor the gift because there's a gift on the inside of her. Or Philip is an amazing lawyer. there's honor that we give to one another. But it's not to be worshiped. It's not to take the place of God. It's not to take the place of Jesus. It's not to take the place of the Holy Spirit. So they have these, so he says these are the gifts to the body of Christ. And like I said, it's for the equipping, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So you understand that these gifts to the body of Christ, they all have the same function. They're all there to do the exact same thing. They do it differently, but it's all there for the same purpose. So we have a pastor. And the pastor, the word pastor means shepherd. So you can think of a shepherd and what shepherds do with their sheep. They are overseers. And a lot of times the word overseer has been used to control. But it's not what it means. An overseer means it cares for the soul. So a pastor is looking out. Is there any wounded sheep? Is there any stray sheep? Is there any sheep getting ready to run? are they being fed? Are they hungry? What's the needs of the sheep? That's an overseer. That's what the pastor, if you look throughout scripture, it calls the pastor the shepherd. Now there's the great shepherd, which is Jesus. But he charges them with, look after the sheep, watch them. So a pastor is overseeing, making sure. Oftentimes when you're in the presence of a pastor, you feel loved. You feel safe. You feel good. Because that's what pastors do. That's the anointing. That's the gift on their life. I remember when I became pastor, I was, I can't think of the word. Words are escaping me today. I was set in, yes, ordination. I was ordained as pastor, and that night, I felt the weight of being a pastor. I have no other way of explaining it. I felt it land on my shoulders. And it was the strangest thing because I would wake up and I would think of people and begin to pray. All of a sudden my mind would go to something like, I wonder how this person, it didn't happen to me before. But it was part of the gift of a pastor, the anointing of the pastor to care, to oversee the sheep. So that's what a pastor does. A pastor is an example. A pastor serves and leads. Like, we're all going this way. This is what I believe the Lord's saying. We should go this way. They provide guidance according to the word, and they nurture the body. They make sure everyone feels safe and loved and cared for. Acts 20:28 says, so guard yourself and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. Understand that he says they're mine. This is Jesus. Like, they've been purchased with my blood, so take care of them. You're not mine. I may be the pastor of this church, but you don't belong to me. You belong to Jesus. And there is a charge that he gives pastors that says, take care of them because they're mine. And then there's evangelists. An evangelist is a person who delivers the good news or who announces the good news. They want to tell everybody about Jesus. They want to see souls saved. And often, when an evangelist, when you're around an evangelist, that's all they're talking about, really, getting souls saved. How are we going to reach? I just want to preach the gospel. I want to tell everybody the good news. Amazing. We need that. What they do is they stir us up And they prepare us, they equip us, they give us what we need to do what? For the ministry, to preach the good news. I heard it said once like this, that you are all carriers of the good news because you've come into the kingdom. You've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are a carrier of the good news. But how many of you were preaching the good news this week? Maybe you were. I'm happy for you. I'm just saying, we're not often delivering the good news. And so an evangelist comes and says, hey, carriers of the good news, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to get you excited to deliver it. You have Sean Corrigan, Sean Cruikshank, all the Seans. Yeah, Sean Niger, they all want to deliver the good news. And so they come to stir the body up. But see, again, what happens often is an evangelist comes, and we think the evangelist's job is to win all the souls and then go back home. But we got people saved. They did their job. No, they come to light a fire and to teach you how to do it. Then we've got prophets. Prophets edify the saints. They build up the church. They don't tear it down. They build the church. They edify. They bring warnings. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, but one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. So prophets will come, and will they carry a word? Often they're carrying a word. They're carrying something that they picked up in the spirit, and they deliver it. They, like I said, they've come to encourage, they've come to strengthen, or they've come to warn the church, like, this is what's coming, this is what the Lord has shown me, and this is how we will get prepared. Often, when a prophet is in your midst, all the other prophetic people, or even if you're not prophetic, you will almost want to prophesy, or you will get into a prophetic wave. It's the mantle that they carry. Same with the evangelist. You will see souls all of a sudden begin to get saved. That's because an evangelist and the anointing that they carry. Same with the prophet. All of a sudden, people will have more increased dreams, increased visions because of the anointing of the prophet. But see, what we've done here with a prophet is we've come to receive a word, and that's it. I hope they prophesy to me. I want a word. But the prophet's job is to teach you to prophesy, is to stir up that gift on the inside of you. You know the Bible says we all can prophesy, right? That's not just the job of the prophet. The prophet comes to teach, comes to encourage it, comes to pull out the gifts. Apostles. Apostle means a person sent with a message. They help us to be sent. They help us to go. They often will see the gifts in us, pull them out. They like to see big things, and they love to see people fulfilling the call of God on their life. They are sent ones that encourage us to go do the work of the ministry, be sent out. That's the work of an apostle. So oftentimes when you're around an apostle, you start visioning big things. You get excited about doing things because that's the anointing of an apostle. And then teacher, practical teachings that instruct according to the word. They equip us to understand the word. So teachers love to teach. Whether you're a teacher in school, or a teacher of the Word of God, teachers love to teach, and you get around them, and they just teaching just spills out of them because they Scott's laughing, right? They because they love to teach. They want to see you grow. They want to see you apply it. It's the same thing as a teacher of the Word of God. They see the Word. They look at it. They want to dig deep in it. And they want to see you apply it. They want to see you grow in it. They teach the Word. Teachers will make you hungry for the Word of God. Matthew 6:34 was Jesus being a teacher of the Word. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Okay, I want to switch to Matthew verse 10. So understanding that those gifts of the body of Christ are gifts that we come together and we become equipped in every area to be able to do the work of the ministry. You are called to do the work of the ministry. This is not the ministry. It's part of it, but it's not all of it. You are coming here to be equipped to go. So our position when we come together is to worship God above all else, to just pour out praise on Him, to just get crazy excited about who He is, to come together, to be together, to strengthen one another, to pray over one another, to prophesy over one another, to encourage one another, to come alongside like we did with Sean and Robin, to pray over one another and say, I'm standing with you. But then it's to be equipped. And as we leave here, we're like, oh, I'm leaving here to go do the work of the ministry. Matthew 10, verse 5 says, Jesus sent out the 12, instructing them, do not go among the Gentiles and do not go into the city of the Samaritans. He's sending them out, okay? This is like their first trip out by themselves. He says, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he instructs them. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. So here's the thing. This is what we're commanded to do. Now let this set in for a moment. Heal the sick. You leave here today, heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. What? Yeah. That's what you get to do. That's the authority that Jesus has given you. We're going to read that in a moment. You're like, but I'm just a mom. I'm just at home with the kids. Applies to you. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Cleanse the lepers. Like, but I'm a nurse, Brenda. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. I so want you to get this, that you understand that this is the authority that you carry. This is the mandate of your life. What's my purpose? This is your purpose. This is it. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. Go, go. But I'm a mechanic. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. I'm not a mechanic, no. Like, oh. Put your profession there. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. You you've been called to the ministry, but we've had this looking forward thing, that's for those that have been called to the ministry. That's their job. No, it's your job, and you have been given the authority and the right. Let's look. I'm almost finished. Luke 9. Verse 1, now Jesus called together the 12 disciples, and he gave them, are you a disciple? Do you know what a disciple is? It's a follower of Jesus. Are you a follower of Jesus? Okay. So Jesus called the 12 disciples, and he gave them the right to exercise power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. And he gave them the right, and he gave them the authority. You are going to leave here today recognizing that you have been given the right, which means open up door, I'm here. Get out, devil, get out of the way. I have the right. I have the authority to be here, and you don't anymore. He gave you the right, and he gave you the authority to heal the sick. You're way too quiet for that. Come on. The right to exercise power and authority over all demons. Why has the church become so terrified of the devil? Like, oh, that scares me. Oh, I don't like to talk about demons. They scare me. What if a demon comes? What if there's a demon in my house? I'm sorry. Have you not been given the right and the authority? You have. You have the right and you have the authority. Okay, so it says he gave him the right and the authority, power and authority over all demons, and power and authority to heal the sick. Then he sent them out on a brief journey to preach the kingdom of God and to perform healing. So they began going from village to village, preaching the gospel, healing the sick everywhere. When the apostles returned, they told him all that they had done. I love that. I always read that thinking that messages come back pumped. Like, Jesus, you're never going to guess what. And then right down, a couple verses later, all of a sudden, Jesus, they go away with Jesus, and some people find out where Jesus is, and they're like rushing to find him. And so then Jesus comes out, and he's speaking to them, and the disciples get concerned. They're like, Jesus, we need to get these people out of here because they're going to be hungry, and we don't got food to feed them. And so we need to send them out. Send them away. And I love this. This is in my own reading time this week. It just jumped out at me because Jesus is hearing them talk about the issues. We don't have provisions. This is an isolated place. Jesus, we need to do something about this. And Jesus says to them, you feed them. You feed them. In other words, I've given you power and I've given you authority. You do it. And I think, like, this is that same backwards thinking that we've had in our churches of, like, I can't feed them. I can't minister to them. I can't get them saved, but I take them to the church. Church can feed them. You feed them. You're called to the work of the ministry. You feed them. And they're like, Jesus, what? You know, we only have this. All I have is this. All I have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all I got, Jesus. I don't have enough to feed them. it's enough. It's enough. And so Jesus then begins to show them and multiplies the bread and the fish, feeds enough for everybody. It says they were all satisfied. But the word, you give them something to eat. Jesus is in you. Then in the next chapter, oh my gosh, I'm finishing. Luke 10. The next chapter, he sends out another 70. And he sent them out ahead, two by two, into every city and place where he was about to go. He was saying to them, the harvest is abundant, for there are many who need to hear the good news about salvation. But the workers, those available to proclaim the message of salvation, they're few. Therefore, prayerfully ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And then he says, go your way, and they go. And then they return. And they come back, same thing. They're pumped. They're so excited. And he's like, they're like, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Like, you don't believe the things we saw. And he said, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. In other words, he was watching. He was with them. And then it says, listen carefully. I have given you authority. Listen carefully, church. Here's the point. I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions and the ability to exercise authority over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing will in any way harm you. Then he says this, but nevertheless, do not rejoice at this. Like, yeah, you have authority over the enemy, but don't rejoice at that. That the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. In the Passion Translation, I just like the way it says it at the end. It says, however, your real source of joy isn't merely that these spirits submit to your authority, but that your name is written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. This is the true source of your authority. The true source of your authority is that your name is written in heaven and that you belong to the kingdom of heaven. So listen to this. The CRA. Whew, everyone just like, ooh. We bless the CRA. Lucas sent me a voice message the other day. He's like, tax time, be careful out there. If I were to call the CRA, and I would like to know, if I called the CRA on behalf of Wayne, and I said, I would like to change some things on Wayne's CRA account, they would say, what's your name? And I'd say, Megan. And they would look to see if my name is written anywhere on Wayne's account to have authority to speak to the issue. And if my name is not there, I have no authority. They will not talk to me. They will have nothing to do with me. They will say, get lost. Because my name is not written there, I have no authority. Understand that it says, your name is written in heaven. And this is the true source of your authority, is that your name is written down. And you belong to the kingdom. Do you belong to the kingdom here? Your name is written down, and the true source of your authority lies there. So I hope you walk out of here today recognizing the authority that is on your shoulders. In the Bible days, there was family business. And the sons were able to conduct business for their father. They had a say. They were able to say what would be done. They were able to purchase things. because they were a part of the family business. They had authority. You have authority because God is your father and you are a part of the family. I'm going to end there. I really thought that I had the shortest message of life. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for the dismantling of belief systems that we have held in our hearts, not even recognizing that they were there. Father, we're thankful for what you're doing in your church and that you're calling us higher. You're calling us to rise up. You're calling us to awaken. And so I just declare over your church, over your bride, that we walk in the authority given, that the revelation of authority is opening up to us, and that we're not just Sunday morning Christians. We don't just do this because it's nice and it makes us feel good, but we recognize the plans and the purposes and the call that you have on each one of us to do the will of the Father, to do the work of the Father. And so, Father, I thank you for that authority resting on us. And that as we go out today, as we are being sent out today to do the work of the ministry, Holy Spirit, would you remind us of the authority that has been given to us? How Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me. Now you go. Go. Go make disciples. May this be the torch that we pick up and go in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
For more information about Embassy Church, visit our website at embassychurch.ca.